You want to come? You want to start?
Yeah, I'll start it off.
You like starting it off.
I do.
Welcome back to the. All right, go ahead.
Welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast.
Yes,
we got two hosts. One of them's name is Hunter.
That's me. And then we have another host that has a longer beard, and that's Roper.
That's me.
How long does it take you to grow that all out from like a full shave?
From a full shave?
Yeah.
Probably about a month or so.
Oh, really?
I just trimmed my beard. I haven't shaved since last year.
Yeah, because we bullied you so hard that you'd never do it again.
You guys fucking pissed me off, dude. I had a dope-ass mustache.
No, you did.
And then Matt was like, the fuck's on your face? And I'm like, okay, fuck me, right?
No. Have you ever seen Lovely Bones?
Dude, I've gotten that before because my glasses... My friend's like, yeah. You look like the guy from Lovely Bones. And I'm like, who's that? He's like, the guy who kills a girl. I'm like, oh, so I'm a pedophile?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, thanks, dude.
No, I mean, like, I wouldn't make that comparison if it definitely didn't make sense. Like, it made so much sense. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I tried to watch that movie, too. And I'm like,
it's a good movie.
I'm like, why am I going to watch myself get made fun of, you know?
That's true. I think that guy dies at the end anyway, so...
Well, he should.
You're still here. He's a bad man. He's not a good man, that's for sure. But I don't know if he was actually ever caught. I think he's, like, killed himself on accident. I don't remember. It's been, like, probably 5 years since then.
I'll tell you who's not dying at the end. Me.
Okay.
This podcast.
Challenge. Okay. Interesting. I'm interested. All right. Other than our ramblings, we have an impressive, amazing band that probably a lot of you people haven't heard of. But no. I will say this. This interview is fun. It is fun. I don't know. It's so much fun.
We had a blast.
Mm-hmm. We got to interview Ben Quad about maybe a week ago or so.
Yeah. As of this recording, it'll be a week ago.
Okay. Yep. So
when this episode comes out, it'll be a week from... Yeah.
We don't care.
A week in 2 days. There we go.
It's great. We love Ben Quad. Yes. We'll talk more about them afterwards just because I gotta think of something to talk to afterwards. Yeah. So anyway, without further ado, let's bring on the interview.
Out of reach. I'm singing the transition song for you. Actually, no, they're doing...
What transition song?
Yeah, when you play the Ben Quad song. I was just singing one.
Okay.
You're gonna need a glass of water.
Ben Quad is a Midwest emo/pop punk band from Oklahoma, here with catchy choruses, incredible guitar riffs, a drummer that just won't stop, and lyrics for you to cry to. Welcome the bassist Henry, lead guitarist Edgar, and vocalist/rhythm guitarist Sam to the show. How are we all feeling today?
You're doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. As we were talking off mic, super excited to have you guys on the show. You guys are doing amazing things, and we can't wait to see you guys grow even more than you already have.
Yes.
So this is exciting.
Thank you,
Kat. Yeah, absolutely. Roper, you want to hit us off with the first question?
Yeah, what was your guys' pop punk emo origin stories?
Origin story.
Okay. I'll let Edgar go first. He's got some fun origins.
Yeah, so I guess I'm officially like the most original member of the band, like at least in this meeting.
It's true.
So the band basically started because of a Craigslist ad. I was bored at an internship in Wichita, and I was like, all right, I need to start a band. And our old singer had posted an ad, and I answered it. That's how I met up with him and then Isaac, our drummer. And then from there, basically, the rhythm guitarist that was going to be in the band dropped, and so we added Sam. And then, you know, fast forward, like, what was it? Like 3 years, we added Henry. But, that's kind of, like, the basic way it started.
What about you, Sam?
Yeah, no, I think I had been doing a lot of stuff in the local music scene. I was a huge pop punk fan in high school. I was going to a lot of like the Wonder Years, Story So Far, Anytime.
You hit our stride right there.
Wheelhouse. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. And so I specifically remember like getting into emo more so because of the classic Modern Baseball. Even though they weren't really emo, they were that weird mix where pop punk kids and like the emo kids were kind of listening to them. Especially back then. And I just remember it was Wonder Years, Modern Baseball, Citizen, Real Friends. It was like this crazy lineup back in like 2014 or 15. And I bought a Mobo split off of Bandcamp, and it happened to have, it was that Marietta split. It was Couples Therapy with Modern Baseball and Marietta. So that's, I kind of ended up deep diving into emo after that. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of stuff just in the local Oklahoma scene, just with like punk and pop rock. And then finally ended up in Ben Quad.
Awesome. I hope you're here to stay. Don't leave.
Appreciate it.
Henry, what about you, man?
In terms of being involved in like the local music scene, I'm pretty similar to Sam. Like I started around about like 5 or so years ago, and I just been like progressively doing that since then. And like my origins for like pop punk, I would say it's pretty generic. I would say like the big three, like Blink-182, Newfound Glory, Sum 41, that all that stuff. That's pretty
Henry, what was your first concert? What was your first concert, Henry?
It was let's see. It was Good Charlotte, Simple Plan, and Reliant K when I was like in second grade.
That's a good first.
I remember being we go all the way back, and I remember being super jealous when I found out that we go back to first grade.
You shouldn't
so
be.
When I found, yeah. it was
dude, my first concert was Brad Paisley, so I think you beat me. Actually, he's a fucking phenomenal guitarist, if you guys
I was
going
to say. Yeah,
that guy fucking kills it. So what's the scene like in Oklahoma? We're from Iowa, so we haven't really been there.
Fair. Not much of a reason to be here. We got a good scene in Tulsa. I think Oklahoma City just kind of struggles to find like a good like community foothold. I think there's like, we've got the same like 15, maybe 20 people who we can, you know, kind of rely on to come out. But other than that, it's not, I wouldn't say it's like a thriving scene. And then Tulsa, which is like an hour and a half away, I think is more of an artsy city. It's more of like artsy, like liberal arts, especially like they have a lot more, you know, like, I don't know, murals, if that means anything, you know, like they're a little more out about how artsy they are. So Tulsa's got a great scene. Oklahoma City really tries, but I wish, you know, that's why we were so blown away with, getting listens outside of Oklahoma, because we just didn't expect it. We're just kind of used to our 15, 20 people, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you guys 100% deserve it.
Oh, yeah.
So Des Moines is kind of like the only, I guess Des Moines and Iowa City are probably the more artsy cities of Iowa.
I wouldn't necessarily put Des Moines in there anymore.
You wouldn't?
No, we don't really have that much of a scene anymore.
Oh, we don't, but we try.
Yeah. I would say like Iowa City or Quad Cities is more...
Yeah,
more the pop punk.
Like I'm friends with, like, not even like great friends, but I'm acquaintances with some of the bands that are in Des Moines. But like they're not even really pop punky emo bands. They're more like punk or rock, hard rock, I guess you would say. But what I was trying to say was like if you leave those two cities, you just see Confederate flags and Trump stickers everywhere you go. So
that's about it. Yeah, you nailed it right on the head. Just a little southwest of y'all. That's all.
It's so funny because you like go anywhere like towards the far right of the states or the far left. It's like a completely different world. Except Florida. Florida does not count.
Florida does not count at all. Florida. What a weird... All right, hey, we don't have to talk about that.
You guys can never tour in Florida. They'll be like, we hate these guys.
We've got some bands. There's some legal stuff. We don't want to talk about it. Like, no, I'm kidding.
I was like, oh, shit, what did we stumble onto?
We have never played in Florida. I'd like to. I could wear a tank top and feel fine about it. Yeah. I feel like I can't do that here. I'll just get burnt by the sun down there. It makes a lot more sense.
Dude, you'll still get burned, man. I used to live there for... about 2.5 years, and it was so weird. So like, I grew up in a really small town. My favorite story to tell is when I was going to Walmart, I heard gunshots. And I like ducked. I was like, oh fuck, what's happening? And then it turned out that no one else cared. They all just kept walking. And then I was like, what is happening? It's just, that's really just Florida. Like there's, it's like a whole different world. I don't even really think it's part of the United States. Alaska is more United States than Florida is. Go ahead, Rober.
Where does the name Ben Quad come from?
Oh, good question. You want me to tell this one?
Yeah.
So that's actually, it's a shortened name. The original name was Ben Quadaneros, which is a Star Wars character from The Phantom Menace, Episode 1. And he is one of the pod racers. He's one of the, you know, Anakin's doing the pod racing. He's actually the pod racer who also never gets off the starting line. Like, at first, Annie's having engine troubles, and there's another alien who just never even gets to race. He just kind of, his engines explode at the very beginning of the race. And so we named ourselves after him. And then after a while, people just didn't want to say Quadaneros. So and it was like merch was fine, but it was getting annoying to have to fit Quadaneros and all the merch. So we ended up just shortening it to Ben Quad. And that way we can avoid Disney at this point as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be kind of a cool, like when you, I'm going to say it, when you guys get really big, like you bring out the like original merch. So you had Ben Quadaneros.
There are some, every once in a while at a local show, we'll see somebody in a Ben Quadaneros t-shirt with like
really?
The full name. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Fun.
That is pretty fucking sick.
Can you guys name a song? Now this is pod racing.
I'm glad they got your joke because I did.
I think that is Mom Jeans.
That's Mom Jeans.
I'm pretty sure Mom Jeans already did that. Emo's on it. Yeah, okay. You got to be careful. If you think it's a good one, someone's probably done it in Emo.
Oh man, I didn't even. I love Mom Jeans. I did not recognize that at all. I would have guessed Origami Angel before Mom Jeans.
Yeah, that does sound like a Gami title. I'm gonna try to fact check him.
Yeah. Please prove him wrong. That would make my
It is on the second album that almost no one listens to. Yeah,
that's okay. How you don't know it.
Gonna say.
What is that one? Puppy Love.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I love me some Mom Jeans, but...
they are good. They are super good.
The newest record is probably my album of the year. I don't think it's going to be beat out.
I liked it a lot, too, yeah.
Yeah,
so good. Okay, guys, can you tell us about the writing process of I'm Scared, That's All There Is?
Yeah, it goes back. Some of the songs we've had for a while, in fact, some... I think it was Blood God, the earliest version of Blood God we were playing before quarantine with our old singer. And I think actually even Henry had been to like the first show. I think Henry, weren't you at that first show we played that one?
I think so. Yeah. Cause I'd been to a handful of them, I think two or three. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so that was like the first time we ever played it. And then quarantine hit. And we ended up, working on it again after, parting ways with our previous singer. So yeah, I don't know. So that's like the oldest song I think, right?
Yeah. I think maybe we're going to be here for a while. It's also pretty old. Basically, we had like rough like prototypes for all the songs before quarantine, and then we were gonna sit down and write them, and then you know COVID hit right when we started writing.
Yeah.
So that was like a huge bummer. And then we were trying to make things work by like practicing and writing in our drummer's backyard. It was so like hot, and that just like bombed us all out. It took like a year, and I'd say like more than a year to write this record. But, you know, like Sam said, I think after we got over that, like, quarantine hurdle, and then we had that lineup change, that's when we really started to sit down and write stuff. It took the course of the year. Kind of the method we took was that I would write a riff, and then I would show it to the guys. And then we'd kind of like, you know, Isaac would add his drums, and then we would add more riffs to it. And then at the very end, we would write lyrics. And kind of like a funny thing that we would do is that we would read the lyrics back to ourselves like poetry. And basically, if the poetry sounded bad, then the lyrics sucked. And so we did that for all the songs, and it worked for us.
Yeah, it ended up working out really well. And I think the it's really me, Henry, and Edgar. We actually kind of combined forces as far as the lyrics go. It's not just you know, one person writing the lyrics. It's we all kind of get together and. Even if we're all writing about separate things, it's usually kind of the same theme, so we can kind of, you know, put them together.
With those game vocals, do you all three do it yourselves, or is there like other people you bring in for them?
No, that's
three of it. All of us, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just all of us. Yeah. That's Henry does pretty much all the actual harmonies that are happening. And then Gang is just all four band members just standing, you know, in front of the mic and just going at it. Yeah. Yeah,
I absolutely love that. We need to bring more gang vocals back. I feel like I don't hear enough of them anymore.
We were heavily inspired by our friends from across the pond. I Feel Fine. If y'all have ever heard of them,
I don't.
If
think
you
so.
Like gang, oh, if y'all like gang vocals, imagine an emo band that just does gang vocals. It is one of the, honestly, when did that album come out? It was my album of the year. Yeah, it was my album of the year last year, just personally. That album is just incredible. So yeah, I Feel Fine, definitely shouting them out. They're from, where are they from?
They're from just somewhere in England.
Somewhere in England. Okay, yeah. We don't want to.
Or adjacent, I might be.
Yeah, we don't want to call it wrong. Yeah. I think
they
get offended by that.
They say like in England, they're like, yeah, they're from the States. Like they don't want to memorize all 50.
Exactly.
Which,
same.
It is what it is. Yeah, that's I'll have to definitely check them out. What was our album of the year last year was Gami Gang, and we just absolutely fell in love with that, which they give me your kind of vibes as well.
Yeah, we love Gami. We actually played with them right before quarantine in Tulsa and had a fun show together with them. They're seriously some of the nicest people I've ever met.
I was going to say, they seem so fucking... Well, who was it? Was it you would tell me about like the weed thing? With Gami Gang, it was like something like you bought some merch and you're like, yeah, this usually goes to gas or weed or something.
Yeah, they had like a tip jar.
And oh, that's what
like,
it was.
They're like, this goes to food, gas, or weed. So I tipped them $5.
Hey, man, honestly gets you so far in life.
And Oklahoma weed is cheap. We had a good time in the green room. They were amazed by how cheap weed is.
Oh, really? Where are they from again?
DC.
Maybe that's why. I guess I don't really know. Everything's cheaper in Iowa, and I think everything's too expensive here. So it's like, there's just no winning. Go ahead, Robert.
Who produced this record for you guys?
CJ Cochran from the band Outline and Color. They're a metalcore band based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They're going on tour with Attack Attack, which I think is pretty good for us.
Yeah. How'd you guys get in connections with him?
Just like the scene, we played with a couple pop punk bands, and they're really good friends with like the metalcore scene. And so through that, we kind of, I don't even know, probably just like, we're like, oh, who produces you guys? And they're like, oh, CJ.
Well, and so, he had also done some masters for us as well, from what I remember. So, because we had recorded with some other people, like didn't he master Unknown?
Yeah, he's mastered like the last like couple.
So yeah, even before we were actually recording with him, he was doing our masters. And so I think we kind of had a little bit of trust with him where we were like, okay, he knows what we sound like. So maybe, you know, go with someone who kind of already has an idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have everything recorded out with him? And then did he go and add additional stuff, or did he like recompose your songs at all? Like what big processes did he have on the record?
I mean, all of it, I guess we recorded.
Yeah. We went up and recorded at his, he has like a home studio, like just like, you know, like a bedroom. And so we'd go up to Tulsa probably every other weekend, record with him. And honestly, he was a really good producer because he would add stuff like while we would basically write in the studio almost. He would help like add really cool things. Yeah. There's some really cool ideas that I think he really contributed to.
Absolutely.
What was your guys' favorite, do you know?
Contribution from him?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to give him credit for Blood God. He's the one behind like the call and response sort of thing.
Oh, nice.
We had kind of like a weaker version of it, but he was like, what if we just gang vocal it? What if we just make it, you know, like the crowds? And I'm like,
he's
all
right,
the
one,
yeah,
I need to
perfect.
Be thinking right now, god
yeah,
damn it.
Basically, yeah, no, CJ, I gotta give him credit for that one. I do, I remember that specifically.
No, that's dope. Awesome, guys. So what do you think your some major themes behind this album are? What's the lesson?
Oh, realistic positivity.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, I don't know, existentialism on the record. You know, you kind of hit this age, like, you know, mid-20s, where you don't really know what's like in store and you're kind of already tired of what's like going on. So you hit like kind of this rut. And so the whole record is kind of like coping with that kind of stuff and kind of, you know, embracing your insecurities. And so we really wanted to convey just like a record that's like hopeful, but also, you know, realistic, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just because Henry is too quiet, I'm going to pick on him for a second.
Absolutely.
What is, what do you think, or like, what was the inspiration of putting clips at the end of the songs for, from like movies or any media?
Yeah, it was basically just like all the stuff that we like to watch in our spare time, like specifically like Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's our, that's the, probably the thing we watch the most together. And like King of the Hill as well. We put that in, You Gotta Learn to Listen, Lou. That was one of my personal favorites that I added personally. So, but yeah, I think, yeah, just like little things like that. That was really fun putting together the album.
Yeah, I think it's such a nice touch. And I think it, it kind of like, if it's done right, which I think you guys did a really great job, is that it encompasses the whole song in like a line or two from a movie. And I love that. One of our friends from the show, Keep Flying, if you guys have ever heard of them, does that as well. And I absolutely love it. I think they kill it as well. Stop wiping your face over there, Roper. Get it together.
And tears over here. How's the feedback been so far for you guys on this record?
Oh, it's been so nice. It's been incredible. Again, this was kind of a blindside to us. We were literally, like, I would consider us a local band, you know, a month ago. And then all of a sudden, I think one of the big ones was when Ian Cohen from Pitchfork gave us a little shout out. And that, I was like, oh. Okay, so like people are hearing this record, like not just, you know, our local scene and not just our friends. Because the thing about Oklahoma that's really nice is that because we're the only like emo band, we do get to play with some crazy good emo bands. Like when we played with Gami, we played with like Max Seal and Oliver Houston and just, you know, a whole bunch of other emo bands that I never thought we would have ever gotten the chance to. And we thought, you know, oh, we're kind of the fun Oklahoma band. We'll always be known as that. That's fun. But yeah, this has been incredible. Keeping up with, you know, everybody. I mean, we're doing a podcast right now. This is not something I would have ever have expected straight up. Like, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things, I think. What about you, Edgar? Were you expecting it at all? Or,
you know, I think we worked so hard on that record that we were expecting, you know, like positive reception. But like, you know, when we dropped it, like overnight almost, it was like one of those things where, you know, you wake up and you get it, you wake up to all like these retweets and likes and you're like, holy shit, what's happening? And I think it really sunk in for us when we went on that tour with Riley the week after. So we put the record out and a week after we went on tour to go up to Coachella. And so I think that's when it really hit me and I was like, oh my God, we're playing these shows to like, you know, kids or in like cities we've never been in before. And there's already like kids like shouting out the lyrics to us. And so I thought that was really cool.
I feel like that's going to be the most rewarding experience. Henry, speak up, man. I need something from this.
No, absolutely. Like the reception that we got on the road was really telling, like, especially like saying like the scene in Oklahoma, like is not like anything compared to like how things places like Madison, Wisconsin, like that was easily the best show of the last tour that we did. I think that was the most amazing crowd response. I thought.
Nice.
What, how much have your monthly listeners gone up?
Well, it's funny you ask. They're actually dropping again. But we
currently,
thanks for bringing it up.
Oopsies, Hunter.
I can't help it. I mean, overall, it's gonna like when you release something new, it usually spikes and it kind of like hits its stride. Exactly.
So we're in the down curve. I think we peaked at like almost 19K.
Hell yeah.
We were at what, like 2K?
So what's funny is, not even a year ago, August 2021, we had just come back from hiatus, basically after quarantine. We hadn't like posted anything in like a year, and so around then, when we dropped a single, we had around like 1,000 monthly listeners, and like with each like new song we got, we like went up like 1,000. Then when the record dropped, we went up by like I don't even know like 10,000.
Yeah, about 10K, which was crazy. So now we're finally, because we released it at the end of June, so now we're finally hitting that curve again where we're going back down. I don't know. I expect us to teeter out around like 10K, which again, for, I considered us a local band, you know what I mean? And local bands around here probably have like, I don't know what, like anywhere from 300 monthly listeners to like, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000, maybe 3,000. So if we're rocking like 10K, if that's where we level out, I am pleased. I'm happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no, I think you guys fully deserve it. Because when I heard this record, I was like, oh, this must be a band that slipped through the cracks for me, and they have like 100K or something. And I looked, and it was like so much lower than that. And I was like, oh, this is their first record, or like, and I was like, holy shit.
I found him on Reddit.
And, oh, did you?
I heard Blood God first, and I was like, this song is absolutely amazing. And then you guys put out the record a month later, and I just fell in love with the whole record. It was so amazing, so dope.
Yeah, you guys have a really great, it's like a refined sound that we've been searching for. A little bit of Midwest emo, a little bit of pop punk, a little bit of emo. It's just fucking rocks, guys.
Appreciate that.
All right, we're done kissing your asses. How has performing these songs been while on tour? I know you guys have had some people singing back to you. What else, big stories, anything?
It's been crazy. So that was like our first little run ever with our friends Arcadia Gray out of Chicago. Absolutely love Arcadia Gray. And we had a couple days. We did some out of state shows, and this was before the record. So super fun. We got a little taste of it. Then we dropped the record, and then we go on tour with Riley, the band. I don't know if y'all have ever listened to them.
Yeah. Riley rules.
Love Riley. And so we've been friends with them for a couple of years as well. And so we couldn't have imagined, you know, better friends to go on tour with. But I don't know, like, I think crowd surfing in, you know, basement shows, like where there's no stage, crowd surfing, it happened in Madison, it happened in Springfield, Missouri. And again, these are like shows without stages. That was wild to me. That was people, you know, getting up there during our songs. Again, we maybe have, you know, 20, 30 people in Oklahoma City come out maybe on a good night. And all of a sudden, you know, we're playing these sweaty packed basements full of, you know, like 70 kids just crowd surfing and singing along. Yeah, that was nuts.
What's like your, what's the main age range you kind of see at your guys' show?
I'd say like college kids.
Yeah, yeah, that's about right.
I was trying to think about how old I was in comparison.
No, yeah, I'd say anywhere. Like people, we definitely get some high schoolers, you know, the cool high schoolers that know there's a music scene.
Yeah.
You know, like some later, you know, like senior age. So I'd say anywhere from like, I think 18 would be a really low number. I think our shows usually are anywhere from like 20 to like 30.
Now you're still in, Roper.
Yeah, that's probably right.
We're still in. No, I feel like your music can kind of hit a whole generation. I've noticed going to shows nowadays, it's just, I'm like, I'm so much older than some of the people around me, you know? It's really weird, honestly.
Well, and I think quarantine did that too, though. I think, like I said, more people know there's a scene now all of a sudden. They spend a lot of time indoors. They find out there's local bands. So maybe that's it too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like the video game industry and the music industry really fucking hit its spike once the pandemic fucking rolled around.
Yeah, everyone was ready to get out.
Yeah.
What's in store for Ben Quad in the future?
We have a lot of stuff we aren't legally allowed to say.
Oh, yeah. Get the lawyers.
There is an NDA or two.
But I think we're down to drop like little hints, though. We are going to be in a video game in the fall.
No shit. Oh, so there's real shit happening. I thought we were all joking here. And
no.
Well, can you mime it for me? Can you mime the video game? Is it an indie title or is it something bigger?
Is it a what?
Is it an indie title or something bigger?
It is not an indie title.
Yeah. Oh, fuck me, dude.
That's why we have to be careful. It's pretty silly. It's pretty silly.
That's not silly. That's fucking dope as shit. Hell yeah, guys.
It'll be fun. Blood God did good. That's all, you know.
Is that the, can you tell us what song it is? Is it Blood God?
He just said.
I can't say. But I'm just saying Blood God got us some attention. I really like that song really on TikTok because of this guy right here. Absolutely shredded on TikTok.
Yeah. No, I was amazed. I was like, Jesus, I feel like such a shitty guitarist when I watched that. I was like, are you kidding me? Fuck this guy.
Oh, same. Between Edgar and Isaac, our drummer, oh my goodness.
Dude, that guy can play.
Yes.
It's nuts. We'll have to come up by y'all and so you can watch him because it's crazy.
Yeah, I want to say come to Des Moines, but I also say stay away because I feel like the senior is just horrible. Iowa City might be your best bet if you guys do ever make it through here. Yeah. Okay. It will be 100%. And go into the show.
Yeah, I will be around.
Besides the video game appearance, I think next year we're really going to try to tour hard, like, you know, go for it,
quit the jobs,
crash and burn, but you know, who cares, we tried. So yeah, we're going to tour, hopefully do an East Coast and a West Coast tour. And then you didn't hear it from us, but probability of us doing an overseas tour is not out of the question.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Cool.
In fact, it might already be in the works. So we'll see.
See what happens.
Very cool. You guys literally go to another country before us. So skipping out on the Midwest. How dare you? No, that's awesome, guys. Do you know, can you say what country?
A lot of them.
Several.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right, fuck, I don't know.
It'll be a couple weeks, hopefully, if everything lines up well. But it's in the works right now. So we'll have better info in the future here soon.
Yeah. Okay.
It's funny because Sam has never flown before, and his first time flying is going to be over the ocean.
I have.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Times.
I was going to say.
I've only flown twice. That's incorrect. I've only flown twice. But I hated it, and I couldn't do it. Like, it was the worst experiences of my life. So, yeah, it's basically got to be my first time in, like, any real jet. It's going to be scary.
It's, you know what's the scariest part? It's having to sit so close to people. I hate that.
That's fair.
Claustrophobic, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
fair. Oh, God. All right, guys. So we do a little thing on the show called a quick draw where we ask super quick questions. Just whatever comes to your mind. If you do the uhs and ahs, that's okay. We won't judge you too much. But I'm going to start us off. Guys, what is the lamest Pokemon? Go.
Henry.
Oh, I don't know anything about Pokemon.
That's why I picked you.
I just go up to like Gen 4 or something.
All right, so what's the lamest one?
Dude, I don't even know. Look. I know my favorite ones, but I don't know the worst ones. What's the one that looks like an ice cream cone? I saw that one. I was like, dude.
I know. I was thinking of the trash one.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the trash one? I was like, this is literal trash. Like, come on, Nintendo. Pick it up. All right. We'll give you guys a pass.
Thank you.
Go to the next one.
Favorite band.
Oh, man.
For me, overall, it's just Radiohead.
Radiohead.
Okay. See that nice poster.
That's good. Edgar, for you?
I like Converge. That's like been an OG band that I've been loving forever.
I always go back to Modest Mouse. That's like one of my OGs.
Modest Mouse for me, for sure.
Going back yeah.
Okay, go to Mario Kart character.
What's his name? Tanuki Mario? The one where he's dressed up like a cat?
Oh, I thought it was a raccoon.
Oh, it's a raccoon.
He's a cat in the new one.
Oh, he's a cat in the new one.
Okay. I always go Shy Guy.
Can't keep up. Yeah. Roper likes these Nintendo questions. I'm more of a Sony fan.
We got all Nintendo.
Yeah. Mine is Shy Guy, too.
That's a good
one. Hell yeah.
Two Shy Guys.
The worst movie you've ever seen.
But do we also like it? Or is it like literally like we hate, like the worst movie we've ever seen and we hate it?
Either or.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
There's a lot of movies I've blocked out of my memory. They're so bad.
Yeah. That's a hard one. I'm going to go. I used to say Attack of the Clones, but then I rewatched that and it's actually pretty silly and fun. So I'm not going to say Attack of the Clones. I'll say The Boy in the Striped Pajamas because I don't ever want to be sad like that again.
Oh my God. That one hurt.
I want to be sad. I'll watch that. I haven't seen that. I've always seen like the box art and I'm like, what's going on here? I just never fucking watched it.
I want to be sad, but not like that.
My answer is pretty basic. I did not like the new Star Wars trilogy, so any of those movies, pretty bad.
Those are pretty bad.
Yeah. Fair. Henry.
I've been thinking about it. I don't know.
Henry.
There was a movie I saw like a long time ago in theaters. It was called, I think the name of it was Apollo 18, and it was about like some horror movie on the moon, and it was terrible. I couldn't.
Well, I wanted to see that.
That was a found footage.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
I keep
really
falling
bad.
Asleep during. I love horror movies, and I just fall asleep every time.
Exactly. It looked so interesting in the trailer, but it just did not lead up anything.
Did not land. Oh no. Shoot. Would you rather see outer space or the depths of the ocean? Henry, I know your answer.
I gotta say the depths of the ocean.
See, nailed it.
Outer space. I hate the ocean. I hate everything about it. I'm not a fan. Outer space. Outer space.
Yeah, he's going to the coast. What is...
Only to visit.
What about you, Edgar?
I'm going to say depths of the ocean just because... I don't know. I feel like you can look at the sky at night and there's outer space.
Hey, come on. What?
Like, I want to see what's down there.
He's already there.
Yeah,
we're already in space, bro.
What is the meaning of life?
42.
There we go.
That's it.
Got enough said.
Yeah. Next question.
All right. Is Bobby Hill the best character of King of the Hill?
Oh, ooh. I want to say yes. I think yes.
I think I agree. Yes.
I think so. He's literally everything I aspire to be. Just pure, wholesome love, anger, sadness. He's everything. He's all of it.
Edgar looks like a Hank Hill kind of fan.
Jesus. Kind of does. You look like a square butt, man. What's up with you?
How many Boomhauers do you guys know?
Oh. I know a few more Dale Gribbles than I know Boomhauers, okay. Actually. Mm. I know some pretty like, you know, conspiracy driven people. I don't know if I know that many Boomhauers. I know probably one.
I think the funniest joke I've ever seen on an animated show is the pocket sand thing. I don't think I've ever seen something funnier in my life.
Oh, that's so good.
What is your favorite Oklahoma exclusive food?
Exclusive? That knocks
out, I don't think we have a lot of exclusive.
Okay. Wait. Like food groups, like only made from Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Any like fast food chains or?
Okay. I mean, there isn't too many. I mean, so like Brahms is a pretty
I was about to say Brahms as well, yeah.
Kansas as well, so I don't know if that counts, but
there's this waffle place.
There is. There you go. Oh, it's not a chain. Point. It's in Tulsa. It's called Waffle That, and it's the best chicken and waffles that exists ever. Absolutely incredible. Waffle That in Tulsa. And then there's just a bunch of really good food trucks around here. A lot of really good Tex-Mex. Oh, yeah. We've got really good Tex-Mex.
Favorite band to tour with?
Tour with? Well, we haven't toured much.
But favorite band Riley. You played with?
No, Riley was amazing.
I would say Riley as well.
The two that we toured with, because Arcadia Gray was also amazing, and we really hope to tour with them again. But Riley, like, we just click with those people so much. They're the sweetest people I know, I swear. And they're wild. They're like, we feel like old men when we're around them. They're around our age, and they just get belligerent every night on tour. I didn't realize that is what tour life is. I thought that was just a movie.
And talking about like crowd participation for the shows, like they were honestly the ones spearheading a lot of it. Like there wouldn't have been as much if it wasn't for them, I think. And they were going on right after our set, and they were going just as hard as anyone. So I don't know how they kept their energy up for that set and everything.
It's insane.
I don't think I've listened to this band. They're called Riley.
You've shown me them.
Oh, I showed you.
Yeah.
Dude, we listen to like so many bands in order to like have kind of a diverse podcast. And I can't keep up with them all. I try so hard.
No worries. They do more Always Sunny stuff. They've got that song Fight Milk, everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Fight Milk?
I think that's the one that you sent me.
Is it? Yep. Fuck me, dude. All right, finish up with the last quick draw question.
All right. Who's your dream band to tour with?
Well, yeah, it's probably Carly Cosgrove. We get compared to them like a whole bunch. Yeah. Mm. And it's like, at least I think for me and Sam, our personal album of the years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Carly
Cosgrove. Oh, yeah. I forgot. It came in the mail today. I've got it too.
Sorry, there you go.
Perfect timing.
What?
Yeah, Henry, what about you? Between Carly Cosgrove and, I don't know.
Probably the Wonder Years, I would say. I think just like being a fan of them since like, I've been a fan since probably like 2015. And I got to see them play live at Riot Fest like in about 2018. And they were incredible. And so I would love to just see them every night for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm a huge, I don't know if you could see behind me, but like most of their records are hanging up.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm a ginormous Wonder Years fan. So is Roper. That's actually how we started the podcast. I asked him what some of his favorite music was. And then he mentioned the Wonder Years. I like basically took him by the hand. I was like running him up to my room just to show him like the like creepy amount of Wonder Years and like Aaron West and the Roaring 20 shit I have. So
yeah. I'm pretty sure they're on tour with Kelly Cosgrove right now. Actually, funny enough, you say that. I'm pretty sure, was it Kelly Cosgrove?
I think they might have just got done with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's hard to keep up with everything. We're trying, though. Yeah. All right, guys, this is your time to promote anything and everything you'd like to. Go ahead.
See, the problem is the record came out and we already did our tour. So
please keep listening.
Show all your friends. Tell everyone you know.
Please, God, just keep listening.
Aaron on Facebook.
We're hopefully going to be putting out some splits in the future with some bands that we love. Again, big things coming with some video game stuff and possibly that overseas tour. So otherwise, yeah, just keep listening. Buy merch. We have it on Bandcamp. Unfortunately, we're out of some things, but we will restock. We will restock ASAP.
I was just giving them shit off mic about that. So I was like, where's the giraffe shirt? All right. Hey, guys, this was such a fun, an amazing interview. I want to thank all three of you. We were missing Isaac, correct?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately. Isaac.
Yeah, he is not a friend of the show until we get him on. So
yeah. I'll let him know. He's going to be devastated. I'll let him know.
So again, thank you guys so much. And everyone needs to keep listening to Ben Quad. Let's get those numbers up again.
Ooh, thank y'all.
Thanks so much for having us.
Appreciate you.
Roper,
not what,
dude. Like we said earlier, we love Ben Quad.
Yeah, those guys were so much fun to talk to.
They were so much fun. Much more Star Wars talk than I had originally planned for.
Yeah, and you're not a Star Wars guy.
I'm not. I'm a, you know what really hurt, because like I hope he hears this, but one of the band members mentioned that he hated the new trilogy of the Star Wars movies, and I watched the 7th one, and I was like, that's pretty good.
That one's fun, but then after they're just like not worth coming back to.
Yeah.
I love Star Wars, and they fucking stumped me with their band name.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they were they'll talk about it in the interview.
Well, this is after the interview,
so I'm not spoiling anything. Yeah, I didn't know that the other guy who doesn't come off the starting blocks, his name was Ben Quadropoulos.
Yeah, no, that was a cool touch.
I was like, what?
As someone that's not a huge Star Wars fan, I was really into that name. I was damn, that's cool.
Yeah, dude, I wish that they sold old Ben Quadropoulos shirts, just so that way we can have them.
They changed their name just so they didn't get sued by Disney.
Yeah.
So, but it just says that you can take inspiration from literally anything.
Anything, dude.
Anything at all. So keep that in mind when you're walking your dog and then you see something.
Yeah, and you want
something interesting.
You want a cool band name.
Roper, what was the question we asked everyone this week?
What band do you believe is a hidden gem?
Which was a great question to ask.
I didn't know what I was going to ask.
Well, Ben Quad is the ultimate hidden gem. Yes. So I thought this was great. How about you hit us off?
Yeah. Okay, I can never pronounce her name.
That's why
dude.
I made
That's
you
why
go
you did
first.
It. Okay, Zion. Okay, Zion and the Prom Nights and Margins.
I've not listened to either of these bands.
Neither have I. She commented twice, though.
I saw that. That's she was like, no, there's more. And then one of the bands said thank you or something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
Cool. Hopefully they like our podcast.
Absolutely. Barely Fluent said Picture Us Tiny, which I've never heard of that band.
Neither have I. I'm almost debating on making a playlist just of these recommends.
Yeah, we should get there.
That'd be kind
of
cool.
Because honestly, it's pretty rare that I don't hear somewhat of an up and coming band.
This is why they're called hidden gems, though.
It's true. They've been hidden so far.
Hidden. Empty Space Podcast. If you guys are in the mood for country, 3 years Gone and Patrick Kearns would be worth a spin. Hope you guys are well. Glad to see you back. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm always in the mood for some little bit of country.
A little bit of country.
Feeling This _ Pop Punk Podcast. Very cool. On the Nerves debut album drops August 5th tomorrow, and the singles Slapped. Very cool. Nice. We'll have to check them out. I haven't heard them either.
T. Kells, Near Friends. I think I've heard this band, but I'm not 100% sure if I'm just getting mixed up with a million other. Actually, I have heard Near Friends because I think they've got a girl singer.
You know what we need to do? We need to get any band that has the name that has two words and Friends is one of them.
Dude,
they have to do a band off. No, they have to do a band off.
Band off.
The top 5 bands with the word friend in it. gets to keep the name, and the other one's just got to change it.
All right, I think Just Friends is going to win for me.
Real Friends is going to be up there.
Yeah, they're second place, I guess.
Whatever. Can Drum said Sugar Hysteria.
Never heard of that.
Never heard of it either.
Francisco underscore G underscore 19 says, Everbloom, pop punk band from my home state of Nebraska. They're super good, not just being biased. That's pretty cool that you're from Nebraska. I didn't know that you were that close.
I've heard a few by Everbloom.
Oh, you have?
Uh-huh, but I don't remember. I could not tell you anything about them, but I definitely have heard this band before. XX, Bruges Attacks, XX, Polar Bear Club, stop laughing at me. Give the song Pawner a listen. Are they giving a song recommendation?
Have you heard Polar Bear Club?
Mm-mm.
They've been around since I was in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn, they're old.
I think they're like kind of more of a easycore band, but I'm not 100% ancient. Sure.
Ancient.
Kinsey Wingett says, Marietta, they're a great Midwest emo band, and I'm not sure how many people know them. I like Marietta. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I don't feel like I've heard of them.
I love Marietta. That Midwest emo, though.
You know how many times I'm like, yeah, no, I haven't listened to that band. And you'll be like, you sent me them. Yeah. So like now I'm like second guessing everything.
No, these guys popped up on a couple of my Midwest emo playlists.
Ooh, did they now?
Yeah.
AFI 931 said, Conditions, been in this train for so long.
We'll have to check them out too.
Yeah, make that playlist and send it our way.
I'll say listener hidden gems. Mm-hmm. There'll be a picture of a jewel on it.
But it's hidden.
It's the it'll be like a bush in front of a jewel.
It's so fucking stupid.
But it'll be like a jewel vape.
Stop. Guys, this was awesome. Thank you. I had to cut rope off because you would have kept going forever. Guys, this was awesome. Thanks so much for commenting. We've had like very successful months in a row talking about whatever Roper's question of the week is. So
yeah, dude. We just keep getting more and more responses every time. It's so much fun.
It's great. Guys, I think it's time to hit the up-and-coming band of the week.
Let's hit them.
Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Now, Roper! Mm-hmm. This week, we have Hate It 2 with their song Avalon. Did I say it right?
I think so. It's okay. Either Abilene or Abilene.
Yeah. So, Roper, this is what they said for their bio here. They gave me a link to their, I don't want to say their website, but the
band review site.
Yeah, something along those lines. And it's not incredibly informative, but this is the best I could pull from it. Between 2008 and 2015, Hate It 2 relocated from Choice Pistoles, a small rural town in eastern Quebec. At least I got Quebec right.
Yeah.
To Quebec City, the province's capital, to release an EP, It's About Time, which is in 2012, and later a full-length album, Purple Mountains, that dropped in 2015. So they got, you get a little info there.
Yeah.
But here was the story behind Abilene, or Abilene, we don't know.
Either or.
Have you ever been to a place just because you thought... Fucking Christ. Have you ever been to a place just because you thought your friends wanted to go, and as soon as you get there, you realize everyone just went because they thought everyone else wanted to? Hate It 2 tackles the Abilene paradox as well as other miscommunication issues in the 4-minute prog punk anthem. Follow up their most recent full-length album, Lampshading, that came out in 2020.
Ooh.
I remember that year.
Yeah.
That's when this show started.
That was a long year, dude.
Roper.
It lasted 2 years.
More than that, I think. Roper, I feel like you're going to have to...
Wait, what?
You didn't even let me finish my sentence.
Oh, okay. I was just getting a little excited.
I know. All right, just hit it. Just
to kick it!
Be damn wrong. Perfect seat does not
never quite resolved.
Roper.
Yeah.
What'd you think, my dude?
Boy, that was progressive as fuck.
That was
dude.
So progressive. Give me some Avenged Sevenfold vibes.
Yeah.
Did you hear that at all? Or is it just me?
I did. It had a nice, it had a couple of like time changes in it. I wouldn't say time changes, but pace differences, you know?
You know what I really like about progressive music is the drums.
Yeah.
I feel like the drummer is just so tired.
He's gotta be.
He's like just drinking water. So he's probably, you know, the SpongeBob episode with the hat, they could drink the water.
I just think of the episode where they go into Sandy's house.
Sandy's house?
Water.
Water, Sandy.
Water. I need it.
Okay, guys. that was a great song, dude. Super. I'm sorry that we fucked with it with SpongeBob. But we got Hate It Too only has 520 monthly listeners. So if you're into prog pop punky music, this is for you, my dude.
Yeah, dude.
You guys should check these guys out. They only have 520 monthly listeners. That is not fucking enough.
No.
We are angry. Roper, do your angry voice.
Boy, I'm mad.
That was good. I got scared for a second.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. As a reminder, you can find our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Our username is PPES Podcast everywhere. That's Instagram, that's Facebook, that's Twitter, and more. Please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help our show grow. Every single song you heard on today's episode will be on a Spotify playlist. You can also find a playlist of our up-and-coming bands from each season, as well as our Pop Punk Emo Supremo Picks playlist that I curate weekly.
Weekly.
Don't forget to check out our new show, Pop Punk Emo Supremo News, for all your weekly new releases, tour announcements, and more.
Dude, we had such a creative title with that. I think I'm going to comment on every time, but I'm just like, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's make it simple.
They
simple
know what they're getting. It's Roper. Us and the news.
Roper. What's your fucking take that's hot, so hot this week?
Dude, I think...
What have you been thinking about all week?
I've been thinking about this Garfield impression that you sent me. And I really think that you give Chris Pratt a run for his money. Maybe even Bill Murray. I don't know.
No one can top Bill Murray as
can
Garfield.
Can you please give the listeners a little taste of that Garfield?
Should we get a backstory first? I screenshotted something. Apparently Chris Pratt is playing Garfield.
Yeah, this has been news for a while.
I just now heard about it.
It's okay.
He's playing. Well, I knew he was going to play Mario, and
yeah,
I was like, okay.
Also, with Mario, I feel like Chris Pratt should play him with like a very thick Brooklyn accent, but a guy who's been smoking Marlboro Reds since 1965.
Well, he prepared for his role in...
smoking Marlboro Reds since 1965.
Well, I was going to get to that joke, but like, you know how in Guardians of the Galaxy, he got super ripped?
Yeah.
And for Mario, he just got chain smoke.
Hey, yo, it's me, Mario.
He's going to piss everyone off with that. It's going to be a bad movie. I'm just saying it now.
Hey, you can't top that first Mario movie.
Oh, the live action one?
With Bob Hoskins in it, that movie fucking rules.
I know. Why don't we just do another one of those?
Exactly.
Come on, Nintendo.
Bring Bob Hoskins back from the dead.
Yeah.
And
Nintendo has the money.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the most profitable video game companies.
Absolutely.
I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking on my ass. But anyway.
Let's hear that Garfield impression.
You ready for it? Yeah. I gotta clear the throat, though. Because, like, it takes a lot to do this. Hey, it's me, Garfield. I hate the Mondays. I love the lasagna. And that's it. Did I get the role?
So funny.
So stupid.
I love the lasagnas.